absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast about all things intercultural. Yes, it may be cliché Scottish music, but Amazing Grace is the only bagpipe music that I could find with a Creative Commons license. And I did like a bit of bagpipe music when I used to live in Scotland a long time ago. This is Anne Fox, currently based in Denmark, but a couple of months ago I was on a trip to Scotland where all the talk was about the Scottish referendum. So I thought I would talk to a few people about it. But would they talk to me?
And also, you're a teacher in a local primary school, and you're keeping your opinions very much to yourself there as well.
Oh, yes. I wouldn't be allowed to mention. But we're doing a project looking at the 1745 rebellion. Bonnie Prince Charlie, who he came back and tried to seize the country back for the Scots. So we're actually looking at the referendum literature to compare the two different methods of trying to gain independence, which is quite interesting.
Before we hear more about that, I just want to mention that we had a phenomenal response to our Stereotype Fortnight on the Facebook page. Thank you to all of those of you who liked us, and thanks especially to Henrik, who was our 400th liker. And yes, it really is complete coincidence, as far as I know, that Henrik is based in Denmark. Coming up in mid-November, we'll have a polychronic and monochronic fortnight. Poly what? It's all about your perception of time and how you use it. And if you're not sure what that is all about and how it relates to intercultural communication, then head on over to our Facebook site from November the 17th. So, back to Scotland. It's rare that a new country is born peacefully. I can think of the division of Czechoslovakia in my lifetime and very few other examples. But when the Scottish National Party won a landslide victory in the devolved Scottish Parliament in 2011, they had a mandate to run a referendum of whether the people of Scotland wanted Scotland to become independent. And so, on September the 18th, the vote was held. In case you don't know the result, I'll let you know at the end. But while we were in Scotland, there was no getting away from the referendum, with posters everywhere and people trying to sway you on the street corners, and in private homes, the topic came up pretty much wherever we went. One of the most noticeable aspects of the referendum was who was allowed to vote. So let's start with absolutely new to Scotland, the whole reason I was in Scotland, my daughter Gwen Fox, who was moving there to start her studies at Aberdeen University.
You have just moved to Scotland to start a university course, yes, and you've lived all your life in Denmark. So you arrived in Scotland on the 1st of September and you had the possibility to vote in the referendum, which is happening on the 18th of September. Is that right?
Yes, that's true.
So how did you feel about it? Did you take up that vote?
I decided not to because I sort of feel as though it's not my decision. I'm not a Scotsman and I'm British by nationality, but I haven't lived in Britain ever, so I sort of feel that in many ways it's not my decision at all. I do studying here for a few years. It will affect me in some ways, but I really think the long-term implications of it mean that, I don't feel it has much to do with me. I don't feel that I have the right to make that decision for another country.
Next, we'll talk to Hugh Mitchell under the strand I'm calling Absolutely Young.
How old are you?
I'm 17.
And you have been given the vote?
I have, yes.
Yeah, so everybody in Scotland, what age can they vote?
16 and upwards.
Yeah, and normally it's?
Normally it's 18.
Normally it's 18. Mm. So how do you feel about being given the vote?
I guess it's good. I mean, it makes me feel like I have some say in what's going to happen to the country. It's a good idea in my eyes, because otherwise I'd just be sitting in the sidelines, I wouldn't really care as much about the referendum if I wasn't going to vote on it, I don't think.
So are you aware of any particular aspects of the referendum which are particularly important for people your age?
I guess probably the main thing I'm concentrating on is university funding for either way that the poll goes, whether we're going to have to pay for tuition.
Mm. Because at the moment in Scotland
we don't pay for tuition at the moment, but there's a lot to say either way that we're going to have to pay in the future.
Mm.
Because Alex sounds adamant that that's not going to happen, but a lot of people who are anti-separation are saying that we couldn't sustain not paying for it, because it wouldn't be cost effective.
Yeah. So the university tuition fees, that's the main issue
for me. I'd say for people my age,
So you don't have to tell me which way you're going to vote, but do you know which way you're going to vote?
I'm pretty sure, but I'm still not 100%, to be honest, because I don't really know all the facts.
Yeah.
And that may be my fault for not going out and searching for the facts, but there's no evidence to say what's going to happen exactly, but... Then again, you could never really predict what would happen.
Yeah. People are talking about it a lot.
A lot, yeah. It's very, very much probably the only thing. It's the thing you go to speak about it.
Yeah.
If you can't, I think.
Yeah. So it's not just in the newspapers and on TV.
No, it's definitely... I mean, I recently started at college, and one of the first questions I was asked is whether you're yes or no.
Really?
Which is, you know, it's a bit weird, because... A lot of the time when you're talking about political opinion, it's considered fairly rude to ask.
It's private.
Yeah, yeah. It's your opinion, and you're not supposed... Well, you know, you don't have to give it away, but...
Yeah.
Maybe it is because of younger people being able to vote. Maybe they just don't understand that that's maybe taboo, but it's a bit... Yeah. I don't know. It's weird that that's the first question I was really asked. Maybe it's because I'm very English and they wanted to know.
One man who was in absolutely no doubt is Ewan McIntosh, as he explained to a group of Norwegian high school students that had contacted him as part of their studies of European politics.
I'm in Edinburgh today, and I run an education company, but we... also spend about 30-40% of our time working with creative projects, and that includes, for example, in 2011 we managed the digital election campaign in Scotland that brought the government to power, and brought the government to power with the majority that allowed it to ask this question: should Scotland become an independent country? So the question is quite simply, do you think Scotland should be an independent country? And very often, you know, in the debates, the countries we talk about are Denmark and Norway. And Scotland and this Scotland's First Minister often talks about Norway as an example of what we could do, so we could all be as happy and rich as you. So really, a lot of the yes votes, they're voting with their hearts, first and foremost, and what they feel. So many of the no's are based on uncertainty or based on fact. So I don't believe this is right. Most of the yes is based on the heart. And I would ask you, because in Scotland you would have a vote. All 16, 17 and 18-year-olds in Scotland have a vote in this referendum. And what would you vote with? Would you vote with your head or would you vote with your heart? You know, my view is that I know that I struggle not to vote with my heart because I feel Scottish and I want to have control over the things that we don't have control over at the moment, especially in terms of nuclear power, nuclear weapons. I disagree with nuclear weapons, and I disagree with the foreign policy of the United Kingdom and the wars that we choose to get into. And if we had a Scottish government, I think we would.
You can see the whole 20-minute session on YouTube. You'll find the link on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, where we have also embedded the video. We heard more about this question of voting with your head or your heart from Ian Francis, who works in Aberdeen.
So a lot of people are talking about that you've got to either vote with your heart or vote with your head. What's that all about?
I think it's just words, to be honest. I think most of this is voting according to your heart, mainly because your head doesn't have enough information to make a rational decision. Whichever side of the viewpoint you take, there is no clear precedent for this. There's so many unanswered questions, so much negotiation to take place that the outcome, I think, is very, very unpredictable. And so I think, in a way, you cannot answer the questions that you need to have the answers to. So you have to vote on the basis of what you believe is the right thing for the place that you live, your country, however you define your country. And that's based on how you grew up and, you know, what the mood music is of the place that you come from. So I think a lot of no voters are voting with their hearts and a lot of yes voters are voting with their hearts.
Yeah. So are people talking about this?
Very much so, yes.
Are they talking about it more than they're talking about a normal general election?
Oh, massively more. There's no doubt about that. It's it has engaged the population in a way that I don't think any other issue ever has, including the referendum that we had in 1997 about whether we should set up a Scottish Parliament, which received an overwhelming mandate, and I voted very strongly in favour of that. But it didn't involve anything like the talking that this does.
Yeah. So you were talking about this at work?
Strangely enough, not too much, actually. Too busy. No, I mean, I don't know.
But
I
think, socially, then?
I think in some ways, possibly amongst friends, it's easier to probe. I think amongst acquaintances, people are slightly afraid still perhaps to give away exactly what they're going to vote, or there's a genuine level of uncertainty about it. And I think possibly people have been a little bit cagey at work in expressing their views.
So is there animosity between the two sides, between the yes camp and the no camp? Is there animosity?
No, I don't think so, actually, not generally.
Yeah.
I think there would be individuals, obviously, who would be feel very passionate about it and probably would strongly resent people who took the opposite view. I think that passion side is probably more prevalent on the yes side. I think where you do see the apparent animosity is, in my experience, there's been a lot more destruction and defacing of no campaign, of unionist posters and stickers than there has of the other way around. I can hardly recall having seen a yes campaign slogan or banner or mural being defaced, but there's lots and lots of no campaigns that have been stickers that have been defaced, and I think that betrays that there's probably a core of stronger passion on the yes side than there is on the no.
So are people going to easily be friends or stay friends after Thursday, after the vote?
I'm sure that will happen. I genuinely believe that whatever happens, you know, Scotland and England will carry on developing in the way that they do, subject to all kinds of random factors, and there won't be an enormous difference in the core values or behaviour or you know, television programs or shopping patterns or anything like this. It'll just carry on roughly as it was before. But gradually, the two countries will diverge more than they are diverged at the moment. Because remember, an enormous number of things are devolved already.
Yeah.
And we have many different ways of doing things in Scotland which are not shared by England. So it'll just carry on going that way. But I think there could be a few step changes forced by external politics, which could be a bit of a shock.
And finally, I talked to Hugh's mother, Philippa, about why she was keeping absolutely quiet about her views.
Quite a long time.
English, but lived here for 12 years.
Yeah. And yet you feel that maybe you shouldn't have the vote. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Well, I haven't put any stickers on the window or anything. I just feel some people might think, well, why should they have the vote when they're not actually Scots? Nobody's said anything like that, though. And I am going to vote, because I feel quite strongly about it.
Yeah.
But I keep my opinions to myself.
But why shouldn't you have the vote? I mean, whichever way it goes, it's going to affect you as anybody.
It would. But I do feel that a lot of people are voting independence because that for generations their family has felt kind of in some way oppressed by the English or done out of something by the English. So it's almost like a reaction to that they're voting, not really for economic reasons or anything in particular, but they just want independence, they want to be shot of the English. So I just feel, you know, well, I'm English, so I'll keep my opinions to myself, but I'm going to vote no.
And also, you're a teacher in a local primary school, and you're keeping your opinions very much to yourself there as well.
Oh, yes, I wouldn't be allowed to mention. But we're doing a project looking at the 1745 rebellion with Bonnie Prince Charlie, who he came back and tried to seize the country back for the Scots. So we're actually looking at the referendum literature to compare the two different methods of trying to gain independence, which is quite interesting. We won't be looking at the fors and againsts of independence, but we will be looking at propaganda from a point of view of persuasive text.
Yeah.
And there's a neat little graph in one of the leaflets that has no scale on the side, and we're just doing data handling, so I'm hoping that they will see, if they don't, I'll point it out, that you can't really take anything on a graph that doesn't have anything in the scale, so they'll be able to see that they're trying to be persuaded in not a very nice way, really.
So you're trying to promote critical thinking?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. But your pupils are not of voting age.
No.
So, okay.
But they'll be heavily influenced by what's being said at home.
Yeah.
So they may well express opinions.
Yeah.
A lot more yes posters, but I think people are proud to put yes posters as a kind of a nationalistic thing. And a lot of people that have spoken to me about voting no and say they're going to vote no don't actually put the posters up because they're a bit worried, I think, that they'll be seen as unpatriotic.
I have noticed actually that there are more yes posters than no posters, so you think actually that's not a good way to poll opinion?
No, definitely not.
Right.
But time will tell.
Yes,
we don't know. But one advert I saw online was particularly pro-Scots, and all the shots of Scotland and people in Scotland were laughing, smiling, in colour. And all the shots of England, you know, this is what it'll be like if we stay with the Union, were all black and white and dingy and grimy and unhappy. So it did make me think they've gone too far with that. It's almost anti-English. But time will tell whether it'll convince people or not.
We will know by next Friday.
I know, very exciting.
I can feel the buzz as I go around in different parts of Scotland.
Everybody's talking about it, You overhear it, even amongst the children in the school.
Really?
And I've not mentioned it to them yet.
Really? So, how old are the children?
10-year-olds bring up. Yeah, because their parents are probably speaking about it, so everybody's influenced.
So, is a country the same as a culture? Does Scotland have a culture so different that it should be separate from the rest of Britain? Do nation states even matter anymore? I'm afraid we haven't touched on any of those questions, but there was a very interesting article about how fragile the idea of a nation state is in The New Scientist recently. Well worth a read, and you can find the link on our website at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. Thanks to Gwen Fox, Hugh Mitchell, Philippa Mitchell, Ian Francis and Ewan McIntosh for contributing to the show. Oh, the result! In the end, it was tight, but the noes won, so Scotland remains a part of the United Kingdom. The next show will be coming to you from Germany and will be presented by Laurent Borgmann on December the 5th. So don't forget to like us on Facebook. We'll now play out on music by Strang, a German band, who have adapted a French medieval song called Douce Dame Jolie. Why? Because that's what came up when I searched on bagpipe music on Jamendo. Stay tuned.